So let's start the show. Let's start the show. Well, what's going on, everybody? And welcome to the newest Brief Tangent. This is going to be on Star Wars. I guess it might not be the newest if you're listening to this after we release another one, but that's a conversation for a different time. I'm joined today by a fellow human being and general nice guy, Derek Schiffenauer, DJS. How we doing?
Well, hey, Christian. Good to be here.
That's what I like to hear. Let's talk about something that is a little near and dear to your heart.
Very near and dear. The nearest and dearest, one might say, as far as fandoms go.
Knowing what I know about the way you view what we're going to discuss, I concur with that statement. This would be the Star Wars saga? What do you call all of Star Wars? Is it just Star Wars?
You'd call it, the umbrella term is the Star Wars saga, yes.
The Star Wars saga.
That encompasses episodes 1 through 6 currently, and will quite soon encompass 1 through 9.
Yeah. So we're looking at
which is big news.
Full trilogy.
A full new trilogy, with also side movies. The plan is there will be a core storyline which will feature in episodes 7, 8, and 9, which will be the main characters that we know from the original films, plus some new additions, which we'll talk about soon. Playing out 30 years after Return of the Jedi, episode 6 of the current saga. Those movies will come out one every other year, and in between each core film, there will be a side project featuring a character from kind of more of the tangential universe.
Sure, an exploration of other goings-on in the Star Wars universe.
Exactly. Some rumors are a young Han Solo, perhaps.
Oh.
Boba Fett, the very
notorious. People really like Boba Fett.
Yeah, the notorious and famous bounty hunter who captured Han Solo.
Do you think if you ask 100 people to name a bounty hunter, how many do you think say Boba Fett?
Just a general bounty hunter?
No, he's probably second behind Dog, the bounty
hunter. Yeah, I was going to say second behind Dog, but that bounty hunter, exactly. But probably he'd probably give Dog a run for his money, would be my guess.
That's fair. Probably a 40-40. It'd be a good guess on the Family Feud. However, you said that the main characters are going to permeate the whole trilogy, and we do not know that to be true yet.
That's actually a good point. We know that they will be in episode 7. We don't know if that will kind of be a passing of the torch to this new younger cast, or if they will in fact permeate throughout the full story of the new trilogy. There's just not a lot of information right now. J.J. Abrams is doing his J.J. Abrams thing and keeping it pretty tight under wraps.
Yeah, and this is a kind of a unique play by J.J. because there is this thing called the Star Wars Expanded Universe. And essentially, as you can imagine, in the last, I don't know, 30 years since the Star Wars films were released, people have come up with what is essentially really, really incredibly complex fan fiction, but prior to fan fiction being a thing.
That's certainly one way to describe that, and not an unfair statement, to be sure. Basically, you know, from the years 1983... when Return of the Jedi was released, and 1999 when the prequel trilogy started, the expanded universe was all we had as far as Star Wars fans for content. And there was just so much, there was such a clamoring for additional information about this rich universe that was created, that, you know, the stories were expanded across books, TV shows, comic books, video games, and really started to flesh out a lot of the background knowledge, and also kind of where the characters go after Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
And a lot of that information has permeated what is known as the official George Lucas canon.
Sure.
The George Lucas canon being the saga, episodes 1 through 6, as well as the Clone Wars cartoon series.
Yeah, but we're going to talk, like I said, a little bit about this new film, and kind of specifically the casting decisions that were announced today in what I think I would go so far as to say a pretty baller way. There's just a bunch of people sitting in a circle in, I don't know, it looks like a loft or the Indiana Jones warehouse where they keep all the things at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
That's right.
And C-3PO is just in a box in the corner hanging out, as well
just
as,
chilling.
You know, Luke and Han and Leia. And then a bunch of other people. Who the fuck
nice
are
to see
people?
They brought the droids in there, you know?
Yes, but they did announce, after months of speculation, this cast. And it's kind of exactly what they said it would be, I would go so far as to say. We have, again, the returnees, and then we have essentially a bunch of relative newcomers. Would you agree with this statement, Derek?
I would say that's very accurate. A lot of newcomers, which, you know, is very similar to what Star Wars was back in 1977. You had a very similar mix of
37 years,
brand new.
Still 40 years. I was off by that much.
Yeah, it's 1977, man. It's been a grip of years, if you will.
That's a metric ton of years.
A metric ton, if you will. But yeah, Star Wars was very much the same way. You had almost no. You had a cast that was top billed, complete newcomers.
Sure.
But it was anchored by a couple very respectable, known actors, namely Peter Cushing and
Harrison Ford, star of American Graffiti. Takes place in the 209.
That's right. Yeah, Modesto's finest, right there.
Cruising down MacArthur. But yes, I apologize. You are correct. It is a similar mindset in that they have a bunch of kind of unknowns, and then some really knowns, and then the ones that aren't in those two buckets are pretty accomplished. Specifically, I would speak to Andy Serkis, of Gollum fame, and oh man, name is escaping me.
Max von Sydow.
There it is.
The octogenarian actor, who's been around the industry for almost as long, very respected actor in his own right. And his role is the one I'm most interested to see where he ends up playing. I have a couple guesses, but we can get to that in a second.
So I guess to leap with that question, as someone who understands that expanded universe that we were speaking about further and is familiar with canon, are you of the belief that this will be in line with something along those lines? Or do you think this will be a role for someone who's 30 years older than the character was at the end of episode 6, but in a different world?
Sure. My assumption is it will be a new character. But one that fits kind of into the precepts of what people believe happened after episode 6, or events that have been referred to in the trilogy, the saga. So just to expound on that, I have two thoughts. One, he is either some imperial officer who filled the power vacuum that was left when Emperor Palpatine died in episode 6.
He certainly looks like the replacement for Darth Sidious, yes.
He could definitely be
like
that.
If someone
kind of
is
role.
Coming in, that yes.
Or I could see him also being a Jedi who escaped the purge of Darth Vader between episodes 3 and 4. So some long hidden away Jedi,
ooh,
kind of in a Yoda mindset, who comes in and he's kind of Luke's right hand man or an advisor to Luke in some capacity.
Someone who like was there, because I don't know if that's considered the age of the Jedi, but clearly, prior to the Purge, there's a significantly greater number of Jedi. So you think I'm going to go with the happy story, by the way. You think that he is going to be perhaps someone who has seen that and can speak about what it was like in the good times?
Yeah. Very much filling the Obi-Wan Kenobi or Yoda role. The reason I don't think that's as likely is because now Luke kind of fits that role.
Mm.
He's been around for 30 years. He's the old.
He's the ripe old age of what, 48? How old is Luke 60. Meant to be?
Yeah,
Luke is 30.
He's in his early 30s in Return of the Jedi. So yeah, he's early to mid 60s now.
What?
Yeah.
That's like reverse of Natalie Dormer, the 32-year-old playing the 15-year-old queen on, you know, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, they do things in reverse on Star Wars.
Mark Hamill looks like he's 21.
Well, now he looks like he's 80. That poor man has not aged well.
It looks like Mark Hamill actually got frozen and then got unfrozen. That's what it looks like happened.
A couple times.
He did the cryo freeze, and then he was just like out. He had a safe word.
But that's Max von Sydow. I think we should also talk a little bit about Andy Serkis, because we know what that means. Andy Serkis has played, as you said, Gollum. He's played King Kong. This summer, he'll be featured as both Godzilla and reprising his role as Caesar in the new Planet of the Apes movie.
He's Godzilla.
He is Godzilla. So he will have played both Godzilla and King Kong, which is quite a credit to his name. But what this all comes back to is he is the motion capture king.
You know what would
when
suck
someone needs
a lot?
A motion capture character,
they go to Andy Serkis. You know what would suck a lot?
That's right. What's that?
To be the second best. Like, what if you were...
Yeah, man.
Like, what if you're like, I don't know, like Kevin Durant?
Sure.
But instead of there being 30 teams you could play for, it's literally like one role constantly. And you were just like consistently.
One role a year.
And you're like, literally, guys, right. I'm like, I'm one of the 10 best ever.
And you'll never be known because you're not Andy Serkis.
Like, oh, God, I was the second best to Andy Serkis. I played the Shark and Sharknado. Made a lot of Smurfs. A lot of good times. Sure. Good times. Anyways,
so whenever,
they did not get the second best guy.
They did not. They got the best, so that's promising. Full motion captured characters in the Star Wars universe kind of has a bad taste in us fans' mouth because what that always makes us think of
Sir Jar Jar
is
Binks
one Sir Jar Jar Binks. So if this is Jar Jar Binks' great-great-grandson, I am going to be pissed. But I don't think that's who it is.
Would that be the biggest, like, just, I got this? That would be the biggest I got this that Abrams could do, is, like, weave in Jar Jar Binks in a cool way. And just be like, don't worry, guys. I get it. Trust me for the next three movies. I just made Jar Jar Binks a legitimate plot point that is not an embarrassment. Everybody settle down.
That would just be some masterful storytelling, which I don't know if anyone alive has that capacity to pull off. So we'll see.
Could you imagine if you had an 8-year-old and that did happen, and they were like, oh, "Dude, I gotta watch the Jar Jar Binks movie."
Oh man,
I gotta learn about Mar Mar Binks's dad, Jar Jar.
Yeah, sure.
Be like, oh god, man. We were just.
That's
gonna...
why I'm starting my kids off with Episode 4.
Oh, I think you get the narrative writings of 1 through 3 and you give those to them.
Yeah, you just show them the Wikipedia page.
This is what happened before the story starts.
This is what happened before the story that you need to see.
Yes, Yoda, really, really good lightsaber fighter, particularly when he's portrayed in CGI. It's impressive.
Yeah,
I gotta be honest.
Very
I loved
impressive.
It, kid. It's wonderful.
He's not a puppet anymore, my young child.
No, he just did 6 flips before he landed on the ground. It's crazy.
It's nuts. We should probably talk about who's rounding out this cast. One is Daisy Ridley, who's a relative newcomer.
She's
almost,
like a complete unknown, actually.
Complete unknown. Most of the other people I've seen once or twice before. But she is almost a complete unknown. After that is Domhnall Gleeson, who played one of the Weasleys in the Harry Potter movies.
A fringe Weasley.
He was a fringe Weasley. He wasn't a core Weasley.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Domhnall Weasley also. Domhnall Gleeson.
Gleeson.
Domhnall Weasley. He is in the best Nah, not the best. One of the best episodes of a show called Black Mirror, which aired in the UK.
Okay.
That I recommend just Googling. You can find it. Just Black Mirror streaming, and what you do from there is your decision. But there's a really good episode that he's in.
Okay. I'll have to check that out. Then there's John Boyega, who is most known for a underrated alien invasion movie, Attack the Block.
Yeah, it's like a sci-fi horror comedy that's apparently quite good.
Yeah, it's actually pretty damn good. And he's in that. I don't know him outside of that role.
I believe he's in the new 24 I read today.
Okay, so he's up and coming. And then probably the biggest of the kind of relative newcomers is Adam Driver, who is best known for his role on HBO's Girls.
Yes.
And he's widely rumored to be the bad guy in episode 7. Completely unconfirmed, but that's what people have been guessing for a while. His name has been rumored to be the only name that we've known as being connected to episode 7 for a couple months.
He was like, the chum that was thrown. He was the one that was like provided.
It's a good way to put
Adam
it.
Driver, he's a bad guy. Have fun with all of that. Now just think for a while, and then we'll tell you what's going to happen next. It's interesting, though, because that could very much not be the case.
No, it could very well not be the case. That's absolutely right. It's all speculation at this point.
Do you think they'll release stills? Mm-hmm. This is what I want to know. Like, in this day and age, first off, I think it's unfair to this John Boyega guy that he has to go out and be in a TV series that he made before he got this chance. Because he's just going to get... he's just going to get analyzed to shit. Like,
sure.
He's not going to be able to... It's not like he's going to be able to watch it and be like, wow, dude, that was my job. And I did a good job. Without a lot of people really saying that he didn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. And he's now under a microscope for the rest of his life. That's exactly what happened to the young boy who played Anakin Skywalker in episode 1, Jake Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
He essentially quit Hollywood just because the immense pressure and constant scrutiny he came under as a result of being the boy who would one day become Darth Vader. It became too much for him.
That makes sense. This is a big deal.
Yeah, this is huge. This is literally people's lives. This is a billion-dollar industry, the Star Wars franchise. And
the Star Wars franchise is $1 billion. Because you know what this can guarantee that even movies like The Avengers can't guarantee in the same way? Mm-hmm. The fringe money, the non-film related money that is set to be made when this happens.
Oh, absolutely. Every single one of these people are going to be immortalized in action figures, in comic books, in video games, in telenovels, in fucking ebooks. Their faces are going to be plastered everywhere here on out.
Woof, man. Well, yeah,
it's a big deal.
This
it's exciting.
This is the first of a number of conversations we're going to have about Star Wars.
Sure, this part one. Of our semi-ongoing series. Whenever there's a major announcement, we'll be here to semi-intelligently analyze it.
Or just talk about it like blown away kids. That's how I feel right
just
now.
Like, just big fanboys at the end of the day.
Yeah, it feels right.
Does feel right.
Feels like it's gonna be better than I think.
I have a lot of faith in J.J. Abrams, and he did a great job with the Star Trek movies. The relaunch Star Trek movie of 2009 was a better Star Wars movie than any of the prequel Star Wars movies were.
Sure.
It just hit the tone correctly. The like space adventure atmosphere was all there. And so he knows how to do this kind of movie right. And so I can't wait to see what he does with it.
Awesome. This has been a brief tangent on the announcement of Star Wars casting. I'm Christian.
And I'm Derek.
And we would love for you to come visit our website. It is keepingitbrief.org. We have some cool stuff up there. We have some other stuff up there. You should check it out.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
And may the Force be with you.
May the Force
always be with you. Yeah.